You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers extended their winning streak to five games by knocking off Ohio State 86-70. This was a game that saw basically everybody who was not Jalen Hood-Schifino get off to a sluggish start offensively for IU. His shooting kept him in it early, and then an absolutely beautiful series of basketball following the under four timeout in the first half saw IU go on a 15-0 run. And really, over the course of the second half, they just nursed that lead. Never really got it up to 20, at least not that I can remember. Never got it to single digits. It just... They kind of hung out in that general area over the course of the second half and ended up tying Ohio State in the second half, where each team scoring 40 points. But a 16-point victory and a solid home win for IU tonight. That moves their record to 15-6 on the season and 6-4 in the Big Ten. I'm your host, Andy Bottoms, and I am here with Ryan Phillips and special guest Mark Titus of Titus and Tate, and we'll break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And I guess a 3.5-minute sequence is, I guess that qualifies as a moment. But IU in the final seven possessions of the first half, coming out of, I think they were up one, coming out of the under four timeout. So a Trace Jackson Davis miss, get tipped back in by Malik Renew. Beautiful reverse from Trey Galloway, a TJD dunk, a TJD hook shot, a TJD miss, but got a three from Hood-Schifino on the second chance. Renew scored with a hook shot, and Caleb Banks with a lob to ice it. So a 15-0 run over the final 3.5 minutes of the first half that gave IU that lead that they would not relinquish over the course of the rest of the game. And it really, up to that point, had been kind of sluggish, a good game back and forth with both teams going on, you know, mini runs here and there, but didn't really feel like IU was able to get into a groove. It was really just Jalen Hood-Schifino's shot making that was keeping them around. And that that segment of play really allowed IU to take control, got the crowd into it. And then for a little while there at halftime, wasn't exactly sure what the second half may bring, as something fell from the scoreboard and caused a delay at the start of the second half, but it started things up. And as somebody joked on Twitter, Big Ten ref said something falls from the ceiling and may hit someone. That's a play on. So we just move on, and that's how we do it in the Big Ten. So tonight's banner moment, as always, is brought to you by
Home Field Apparel.
It is brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, who is now in their sixth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their second as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And as you surely know by now, Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you'll find anywhere, with beloved logos like two different versions of the Bison, as well as the IU women's basketball shirt that recently came out that has proven, at least to Jared, to be a good luck charm. Did not get a final report on whether he did wear that underneath his suit to the father-daughter dance tonight. Maybe he'll come on and tell us later. The result of the game would suggest that he did. But either way, even if you support other college teams, like the Buckeyes, as Mark does here, or you have people in your life who do, Homefield probably has something for them as well. Their product line now extends to more than 120 different schools with unique vintage logos for all of them. And no matter what you buy, you know it'll be comfortable and the colors will last through many washings. Plus, you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through Kelly. And what could be better than that? So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME to get 15% off your entire first order. Again, that's promo code HOME for 15% off. Once again, the website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, now it's time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And I'll kick it first to Ryan Phillips. Ryan, probably not a ton to rant about this evening, but what are your thoughts on tonight's game?
I think we've got to talk about Jalen Hood-Schifino. Just his first half was incredible. And as you stated, Andy, it was kind of a sloppy. I mean, it was a tight game, but it was a little sloppy both ways. Both teams were really kind of struggling. And Trace Jackson Davis didn't really get going. He was rebounding really well. And I think he was 4 of 10 from the field in the first half. He just kind of struggling to finish. Jalen Huccifino was not. He dropped 20 points in the first half, 7 of 9 from the field, 6 of 7 from 3. He had all 6 of Indiana's three-pointers in the first half. His ability to make shots and get open, and create space enough to get those shots off was just staggering. And he had kind of had two games that were a little rough in a row where other guys stepped up. And when he's doing that, and when Trayce Jackson-Davis is getting a double-double, and then you've got guys like Malik Renew sort of plowing through that freshman wall and starting to get back to where he was, Indiana's a pretty good team. And Huccifino's ability to make shots in the first half really sort of set the tone that Indiana was able to build towards and get on that run, as you pointed out in the opener. And, you know, the second half, he only had 4 points and didn't do a whole lot in the second half. But that first half really was, phenomenal, and just showed you how talented that guy is and why we should enjoy every moment that he's in an Indiana uniform, because I don't think they're going to be a whole lot more of them.
Yeah, I agree. One of the first threes he took was definitely of the no, yes variety. He scored early, but there was one that I think when IU was down 8-2 or something like that, he rose up and took one, and it was like, that does not seem like a good shot. But for him, that was a good shot. All right, so Mark, we'll throw it to you for your thoughts on the game. Just want to point out that there was some question of Mark's integrity about whether he was sick before the game and that would allow him to not show up. We had no doubt. He is not gonna dodge this, because I think his overall record, the Ohio State's overall record in appearances on the show is now like 7-2. So this is not enough to deter him from coming on.
I felt a lot better 2 hours ago, I will say, Andy. I don't know. I got to be honest. I don't remember how the show works when I come on when Ohio State loses to IU. I mean, I'm used to like coming on and patting you guys on the back and saying it's not so bad, like Indiana's not that bad, it's all going to be okay. I don't know what it's like to basically watch my team. I'm going to need a second. This is the most frustrating basketball team I have ever watched in my entire life, Ohio State. And I say this without exaggeration. We are a good team. I swear to God, we are a good team. It's just we don't win games. We don't look like a good team for a lot of stretches. We are not mentally tough. We don't, but I swear to God, we're a good team. That's what's frustrating. There's so many times I'm watching this team that I wish we would just suck so I could just turn the TV off and not have to watch. But, that first half is basically what this Ohio State team is in a nutshell, where, Trayce Jackson-Davis is, as you guys are fully aware, playing out of his mind on a completely different level from what we've seen coming into this game, And Ohio State was doing well, I thought, limiting him. And I thought our game plan against him was great, even though we were doubling from the ball side and leaving shooters wide open. I still don't understand why we're doing that, but whatever. So I was like pleased with that. I was like, oh, okay, we're slowing down Trayce a little bit. I thought our guys were handling the crowd well. Like when IU started hitting some shots, I felt like Ohio State was responding well. And then the wheels just completely fall off and we have zero ounce of let's just weather the storm here. 0 ounce of how to handle a road environment in the Big Ten. I don't know, that first half is exactly what it's like being an Ohio State fan all year, where you're like, I saw so many good moments throughout that entire first half, and yet we're down by, what is it, 15 at this point? 16. How did this happen?
16 at the half.
And then I'm like, I swear to God, if you cover the score at times, you're like, I don't think we're down that much. And then you uncover the score and you're like, yep, okay, down 15. Got it. Okay, never mind. So I don't know. I think like the positive I take away from this is I think I'm finally done with this team. I think that's it. I think I've seen enough. I think like tonight I was like, why do I do this to myself? We're not making the NCAA tournament. It's over. I hate everything. But the Hoosiers look good. I will say the Hoosiers are back, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, Mark, are the Hoosiers back? No, but Mark sounds like me with Indiana over the last 5 years. Just, I'm done. I'm finally done. It's over. I'll be here next week for the next show, guys, but I'm done. No, Mark, you watch all of college basketball for your job. And what has been different about Indiana for you? Because, they were down for a couple games there and looked for about a month. They weren't playing well. And then they had 3 real bad losses. And then all of a sudden they are playing well, and it's like they found some kind of formula. What have you seen that's so different?
I don't think Indiana was as bad as the vibe was around IU. I think like the 3 losses that were bad. I mean, I don't know. Like I look back on like the ups and downs of the season, and I think that that three game losing streak to Iowa, Northwestern, and Penn State at the time, it felt like, oh, the bottom's falling out of the season. It felt like the sky is falling, as it literally was tonight in Assembly Hall. That was the feeling. But I mean, you go back and you look, like, part of what made the Iowa loss so bad was like the circumstances, having the big lead, you know, the questionable calls, all that kind of stuff. But then also that was coming on the heels of Eastern Illinois beating Iowa. And so at the time you're thinking that Iowa is just like a garbage team. Chris Murray didn't play in that game. So now he's playing, you know, like there's like certain circumstances where it's like, we're losing to this team that just lost to Iowa, just lost to Eastern Illinois. How is that happening? I don't think Iowa's that bad of a team. Northwestern at home, again, like through the years, there's no Indiana fan on earth that wants to get comfortable losing to Northwestern at home. That's not a sentence where you say, oh, that's not too bad, we lost to Northwestern at home. Yet at the same time, this Northwestern team is not bad. You know, like this isn't like a horrific Northwestern
and it
team.
It is a thing that has happened more than we would care to admit.
Yeah.
In recent years, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then Penn State was just, I mean, Penn State was just hitting everything. And that's how Penn State is engineered. It's like, we're going to shoot 1,000 threes. And if we're hot tonight, we're going to beat anybody in the country. So I don't mean to say that like losing those three games was good for India or anything like that. I just think like, if you take like more of a process view at everything, I never really felt like IU was bad. I just felt like there's going to be ups and downs throughout the season. And that was a little bit of a down. And if they could just get healthy and not lose their cool about things, they bring it back. And I don't know. They've been, Hoosiers are looking incredible right now. I will say, like, it's I'm pretty fired up because I'm coming to Bloomington next weekend for the Purdue game, and I was gonna come to this game tonight, but then I realized, basically, since I moved out of Indiana when I was 18 years old to go to Ohio State, I don't think I've ever been to Assembly Hall and cheered for the home team. I think I've only gone back for Ohio State games. And I was like, I don't want to do that to myself anymore. I want to go back and actually cheer for the Hoosiers because it sucks being a visiting fan there. Yeah. So I could not be more excited for that, at least. Like, going back next week is going to be crazy because I think Indiana is looking like the team that we thought they were going to be at the start of the year right now.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, realistically, you did your part for Ohio State by going to the Iowa game last weekend. You shouldn't have felt that you had to show up and do
it. It is true. It is true. Week, I said so. I was going to go for one game and save the program.
Exactly. Then... exactly. You did your best.
Maybe it's a delayed effect of saving the program.
And speaking of that Penn State game, the your Notre Dame correspondent that you had on Titus and Tate, that's the game to show him if you want to get him excited about Shreve.
Yeah, exactly.
Not telling him to watch when they got beat by Rutgers. So I think, as Ryan said, the place to start from a storyline perspective in this game was the play of Jalen Huccifino, but really the freshmen in general. They were a story across the game on both sides. You had Jalen end up with 24, I believe, for the game, 24 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. Again, only got 4 points, only took a few shots in the second half.
Only one turnover.
Yeah, but also Malik Renu, 15 points. 8 rebounds, had a number of really nice offensive rebounds, is getting pretty adept at tipping the ball to himself on these rebounds. 3 assists for him, another really strong outing for him coming off of a big game at Minnesota. And on the Ohio State side, Bryce Sensabaugh was phenomenal as well. A tough matchup for anybody, certainly a tough matchup for the guys that IU was trying to throw at him. He ends up getting 23. Really gave Miller Kopp a lot of trouble to start the second half. They tried Race Thompson on him. They tried Renew on him. Just about anybody had trouble slowing him down. So this was a game that the freshmen were such a big storyline for both programs. You know, Ryan, I know you talked a little bit about Huccifino earlier, but thoughts on Renew, kind of, as you said earlier, breaking through that quote-unquote freshman wall.
Yeah, no, he had a couple weeks, and I think it started with, you know, after the North Carolina game, where he was just really out of sorts, and it was mental. It was, you know, because the guy's got the skill, he's got the size, he's got the power to, you know, play at this level. I think it was all confidence, and he's just slowly got that confidence back. And I think everybody said, well, he'll get there eventually. He just needs more minutes. He'll get there. He'll realize he can play at this level, and that's what's happened. And you saw that. I mean, this is the best game he's had since, what, like the fourth game of the season or something? He was relentless in the attack. I think he does need to learn to kick the ball out occasionally. You know, it feels like once it goes in, it is not coming out. It's, you know, everybody should just get an offensive rebounding position because that ball's going up. I don't care where he is on the floor. If he gets the ball within 10 feet, it's going up. And, but he was successful more often than not tonight. And, really just, you can tell he's worked really hard to get back to a place where he's confident. And, you know, it's gotten to the point now where, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis only played 33 minutes tonight. I say only because he's been playing so many minutes. I mean, they could survive with him, with Malik and with Race Thompson on the floor together and no Trayce. I mean, it has seemed for weeks that if Trayce Jackson-Davis is off the floor, Indiana's in trouble. And getting to that level where you can give him some breaks, given how many minutes he's played and how he's been playing and what he's been doing on both ends, is going to be invaluable down the stretch, especially in games like this where they have a lead. Being able to get him some rest is going to be huge. And Malik Renu is a huge part of doing that.
Yeah, Mark, your thoughts on the freshmen this game, really on both sides of it. They were, I think, the story for both teams.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is the best I've seen Renu play. I mean, you guys obviously have watched him more than I have, but this was, you know, you hear a lot about the kid coming in, and Hood Schifino is obviously the biggest name in this recruiting class for IU. But you know, Renu is a guy I was aware of, and I've been following the team all year, obviously. And I don't know, I wouldn't say he was disappointing. He's just been kind of like another dude out there for the Hoosiers, and tonight. I finally, for the first time, was like, oh, I get it now. I get why this was such a big deal when he committed to Indiana. As far as, I mean, Hood Schifino was awesome in the first half too. I mean, that first half was the best I've ever seen him play as well. And he's had some really good stretches this year.
Us too.
yeah. That first half was incredible. And he almost looked surprised at times. Like he'd hit shots and like just kind of sit there and like be like, damn, I can't believe I expected the Michael Jordan shrug at one some point during the first half. He was so hot. But as far as like Sensiball, man, I'm so sad that we're wasting what is one of the best freshman seasons in Ohio State basketball history. I mean, this reminds me a lot of D'Angelo Russell's freshman year, where it's going to get lost to the annals of time because the team is so frustrating, and all anyone's going to remember in Columbus about this year of basketball is just how frustrating the team is. And no one's going to remember that Bryce Sensiball is just an unbelievably gifted scorer. And he just makes it look so easy on a night like tonight, when we have so many guys that look like they've never touched a basketball before, that like, I was in Columbus and I watched Isaac Likely play the game of his life against Iowa a week ago, and tonight he's 0-for-1, 0 point. Like it's Sean McNeil couldn't shoot anything. And I same thing. Like I've seen this guy have games where he can't miss. So obviously, you know, like the road environments will get to guys at times and all that. And Bryce Sensiball is just as steady of an influence as there is on a team. And for him to do that as a freshman, I don't know. He might be the only reason I continue to watch this Buckeye team. Honestly, it's just, he's so fun to watch. He's so, so talented. And yeah, it is wild because the freshmen were the story of this game, and I don't think I necessarily expected that. Certainly on Indiana's side coming into this one.
Yeah, I kept watching IU try to throw different guys at Sensiball, and then you're just sitting there trying to think about like what is the skill set of the guy that you need to be able to stop him in all the ways that he can score. And
got to be big, fast, smart.
IU just needs to bring OG Anunoby back, and I think that should probably do it. But otherwise, there really was no answer for him.
I will say that one frustrating thing I have about this team, I guess, is that like I don't want to put it on Bryce, but there is a feeling of like empty calorie scoring at times where I don't necessarily think it's his fault. I just think that like when he's in the zone, we don't do a great job of like capitalizing on that and realizing that teams are now going to, you know, double him at certain times and emphasize their defense, you know, like play him differently defensively. We don't then like, it doesn't like open up other things for the other guys. It's just like Bryce Sensiball's out there like in a meaningless exhibition NBA game where he's like, just, I'm going to get my 23 tonight, and that's going to be that. And it's going to have no effect on anybody else. And I don't think it's his fault per se. I don't know if it's the coach's fault. I don't know if it's the other player's fault, but that becomes a little frustrating because I don't know. It's like part of the reason Hood Schifino probably didn't score a lot in the second half is I'm sure Holtman was like, guys, this guy's not going to miss.
Overplayed him.
Yeah. So now we're going to overplay him. And then now Renu is killing and Trayce starts getting his points that he didn't necessarily get in the first half. None of that happens with Ohio State and Bryce Sensiball. He just goes out there, gets his points. I sometimes wonder if he even knows what the score is. You know, like if you call a timeout, you asked him. Bryce, are we down 15 or up 15? He's like, I don't know, but I got 21. You know,
maybe he was covering the score like you suggested earlier.
I don't know. It feels like we're doing okay. You guys feel good about it or not?
Outside of that 3-minute stretch at the end of the first half, it was a pretty even game for the most part. They traded baskets when they did score, but you know, obviously one team was up 15 in the second half, being willing to do that. But yeah, I mean, Sensabaugh looks incredible, and the only way someone on Indiana was going to stop him tonight is if they were armed with a 2x4. I mean, he was going right past and around people and shooting over him. I mean, it was spectacular. But I think you're right. It's him going off didn't help Suing get going, didn't help Thornton get going, didn't get McNeil better shots. Like it was kind of a weird phenomenon that he got his and nobody else really played off of it.
Yeah, it's been that way kind of all year, and I guess that's why if you're sitting in my seat, you start losing your mind watching this team play. You just start going crazy. Like, how are we not?
Welcome to the Hoosier bandwagon, buddy.
Because this was supposed to be the unknown of this team, was that we had a – I promise I won't hijack the show.
Keep going.
But this was the unknown with this Ohio State team was supposed to be the freshman class, because they were highly talented to an extent, you know, like it was a group of a bunch of 4-star guys, and it wasn't a John Calipari class that was going to come in and go to a Final Four or anything, but it was a class that I think you were looking at like 2 or 3 years down the road could be kind of special. But certainly this year we weren't sure how much we were going to get out of these guys. And for Bryce to be the one guy that's now every single night, you can count on him. And now all of a sudden it's like Justice Suing and Zed Key, who I know Zed's been banged up, and I love Zed to death. He's just not the same player right now. He's got a shoulder injury, he's got a knee injury, he's got everything else going on. But he hasn't been effective really in the way we're used to him being great. And Justice is he's a big question mark a lot of the time. And Ice Likely, you know, and Sean McNeil are two guys that we brought in the transfer portal to be like just veteran sure things, you know, like for all that Sean McNeil can't do on a basketball court, the one thing you know he can do is hit threes, and he's going to shoot well. Ice Likely is a great defender. Like there was like this certain level of like, you know what the floor is with this Ohio State team. Now if we can get something out of the freshmen, we could be pretty good maybe. And I guess that's what's frustrating, is that by and large the freshmen have delivered, or at least Bryce has, and it's the veterans that are kind of frustrating, and that's why I'm pulling my hair out, I guess, is because it's flipped on its head. It's like usually you're watching a team like this and you're like, these freshmen are making boneheaded plays, but instead it's the other way, and it's we now find ourselves relying on a guy who was not supposed to be a one and done, but as more time goes by, is his draft stock just continues to grow and grow.
So. That's the double-edged sword of that, is that, you know, early in the season, people were saying, well, Huchifino can't make his own shot, you know, get his own shot and make it. So maybe he does come back for another year. And now he's tearing it up and you're like, oh yeah, man, we got like 10 games left with him. And it's probably the same with Sensabaugh. It's just the better. It's great that he plays well, but at the same time, the downside is he's going to be gone.
Yeah. It's a bummer. I mean, and then the worst part about it is in the name, image, likeness era, you can now start deluding yourself into believing, like, I don't know, maybe we could get, you know, Ken Nunn to put together an NIL package and keep Jalen around. I don't know, maybe we could see, you know, like Ohio State fans were doing with CJ Stroud, he wouldn't declare for the draft, and we're like, oh no, did Les Wexner step back up? Anyway,
all right, well, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hit on some meaningful moments that you might have missed, and then go inside the numbers as we continue to break down IU's 86-70 victory over Ohio State. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. You know, I have never listened to the assembly call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Gene, and welcome back to the Assembly Call IU Postgame Show. I'm Andy Bottoms here with Ryan Phillips and special guest Mark Titus, and we are breaking down IU's 86-70 victory over Ohio State. And now it is time for
meaningful moments that you might have missed.
And today's meaningful moments that you might have missed are brought to you, as always, by our friends at the Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience Indiana University athletics events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, like the, I think, 90 or so people they were able to send to the IU-Ohio State women's game. Sorry, Mark. You can visit HoosierTicketProject.org. Again, that's HoosierTicketProject.org. It has seldom been a show lately where we have made it out of the first segment and not talked extensively about Trace Jackson Davis. But here we are. And Trace, you know, as we think about meaningful moments over the course of his play, I think he did a lot of little things well. I do think he struggled at times with the double team. I know Coach was on site at Assembly Hall tonight and kind of talked about there were times where he was trying to make too difficult of passes out of the double team. There was other times, as Mark mentioned earlier, where the, you know, Ohio State would double from the you know, the ball side, and he was able to kick it out to Jalen for 3-point shots. So ends up with 6 assists. I think led the team in total in assists. With that, did have a double-double with 18 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. But, you know, Ryan, I'll kind of throw this to you first. Any specific Trace plays that, you know, may have stood out to you or little things that he was able to do tonight to be effective on what kind of felt like an off night? But then you look up and he's got 18 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and I think at least a couple blocks as well. So I guess for him, maybe that's an off night now, but I think we'll still take it.
Yeah, the thing that stood out to me for Trace was nothing offensively. It was his rebounding early on, and just it seemed like he was skying so high above everybody to grab those boards in the first half. He had 8 in the first half, 6 defensive. I felt like it really, when, you know, Ohio State got off to a good start, and I thought that Indiana really closed down the boards and you know, made it a one shot offense, and I think that was huge for Indiana. And I just saw him, you know, just in there, and it felt like for a stretch of like 6 trips, he grabbed every rebound. And it was he and Race Thompson both just grabbing every board. And I don't know. I think that being able to rely on him to do that when Indiana hasn't rebounded well from the guard spot at times is huge. And it helps them get out and transition fast, because of course he grabs the ball and then he's willing to take off now, which is different than the last 3 years. So that was huge for me. And also, you know, compiling 4 assists in the first half, moving the ball around, getting it to Jalen Huccifino a couple times off the double and finding Huccifino open for threes. Those were the things that stood out to me about him. Second half, he got his points. You know, he did what he does on the inside. That one he finished where he lost the ball in midair and somehow finished it. And I guess it wasn't a travel. I don't know. But, you know, that finish was pretty great, at least, you know, flat-footed falling down. was pretty great. But other than that, it was a workmanlike performance. It was not a standout. It was a quiet 18-10, it felt like, which is weird to say in college basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, you know, you've watched Trace for a few years at IU. What do you feel like has been different for him this year in totality, but really more specifically during this last stretch of games?
It feels to me like he's trusting the rest of the guys more. Like, he's still carrying the team in a way he has every game he's played for Indiana, but this feels like the first stretch where I've seen, like, Trace Jackson Davis pass the ball out and say, like, go ahead and, like, in a way, he's not, you know, this is just me projecting, but it feels like he's like, I'm passing it to you to shoot it, and not because I've run out of options of things that I can do with the ball. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it's felt so often watching Trace through the years, is like, he puts his head down, he's going to try to make his post move, the double comes, or he dribbles under the basket, whatever, and he's basically just kicking it out to repost or something like that. And now the ball's moving with intention, and the way he's playing right now, it basically just comes down to, like, if Indiana's guards and yeah, I mean, like, if the guards can hit shots, hit threes, they are going to be the team that they were expected to be at the start of the season. I mean, like, that they're going to become unguardable at that point, because it is hilarious to watch a man who very obviously has one hand. He goes left every single time. He if you tied his left hand behind his back, he would still try to shoot with it, just like from his butt. He would just like fling shots up from his butt. And he can't shoot from outside the paint. And everybody knows this. Every Big Ten coach has known this for 3 years, and they still can't stop him. It's incredible. Like, and I don't say that as like a criticism of him. I just say it. I don't know. Maybe part of me is like a little salty watching my team, you know, do well against him, and he still gets 18-10-6. But no, I'm just so impressed with, like, the game is coming to him, or however you want to phrase it. Like, that seems to be, like, there seems to be a maturity about the way he's going about it, instead of just like, I'm going to dunk a bunch and you know, grab a bunch of rebounds, and then, you know, when we lose by 10, I hope that all the people in the media point out that I'm carrying the team. You know, like, that seems to be like how the Trace Jackson Davis experience has been. And now, for the first time, it does feel like he's got like a symbiotic relationship with the rest of the team. And it's been fun to watch on every other night other than tonight, I guess.
Yeah. I thought they really, and I'm going to bring Coach on for this, 'cause he texted a little bit about this in the game. I thought Trace did at times struggle with the double team. And I think he is a guy who was able to defend him a little bit more in the way that a Kofi Coburn used to, really muscle him, make it hard for him to score on straight post-ups. And IU did some things to get him at the elbow, where either he can put the ball on the floor, they run curls with Huchefino a lot of times coming off of that, and he seemed much more effective in that scenario. Was able to score a little bit off Renew, had a really nice pass to him. I think when they were playing zone, lobbed it up to him quickly. Or maybe that was just in transition. I don't think that was one of the zone possessions. But I thought Ohio State did do a pretty good job of running aggressive doubles at him, really having Key try to push him out on the court. But, Coach, I'll bring you in as you're walking around the hallowed halls of Assembly Hall to give us your thoughts on the game. I feel like you're walking downstairs now, where this is probably dangerous, and I shouldn't be having you do this. But
No, I'm trying to get away from some of the noise of the cleanup crew here for a brief report. Mark, always good to be on the show with you. Love your regular show, and sorry that you had to watch that tonight. But you know, Indiana, I thought, played really well defensively. I thought Ohio State had some dudes that could score though early, and then you guys have already talked about the set late run in the first half was just a tremendous separator between these two ball clubs. But man, that Sensiball kid is really good. And the defensive game plan, as Mark said early on the show, really gave Trace Jackson Davis some fits, and Huchefino shot him out of that for the most part. And then it opened up a little bit in the second half. But I thought really great effort defensively. I thought rebounding, Ryan said about Trace Jackson Davis, everyone hit the boards tonight extremely, extremely well, was a big piece of that victory. And Indiana just keeps moving forward. So, it was electric here tonight. A lot of good energy from the fans.
Hopefully a preview for next Saturday.
Did they ever call a technical foul in the student section for the vulgar chants at Ohio State? I mean, just no class whatsoever. Just zero class.
I will have to agree with you 100%. And I mean, Ohio, you know, Andy Bottoms lives in Ohio. So our students need to do a better job of understanding that they shouldn't be saying that F word.
We have connections.
Are the IU students not aware that Bob Knight is an Ohioan? I mean, come on. A little history lesson, please.
Obviously.
I would guess that many of them are not. But that's,
are not aware of that, question. Yes. They tend to be a little younger than us.
I'm telling you, Mark, the creativity of our student section needs a boost.
These kids today.
We have no idea how to cheer for our team, so we'll just use the F-bomb towards the other team.
Absolutely. One of the other meaningful moments was put back by Caleb Banks in the first half, and he had a couple nice plays. I was surprised to see him get in the game. Jordan Geronimo was out, but I really thought Banks made a lot of nice little plays for a guy who had largely been forgotten about to a certain extent. And it was really his putback, I think, leading into the media timeout where Chris Holtmann got a technical that then led to, as every technical leads to the opponent being called for, or leads to the offending team being called for no fouls for a significant period of time and the other team getting called for a lot.
Scared him.
So really, I don't know why you would, I mean, why would you ever not get a technical as you go into the game? But, So Caleb Banks, again, I was to get back to my point. Sorry about that tangent about Big Ten officiating. But Ryan, I certainly was surprised to see Banks, but thought he really gave some good minutes. What about you?
Yeah, my meaningful moment was at 11:55 in the first half. Caleb Banks came in. I mean, Banks hasn't played meaningful action.
I definitely did a double take. He'd been in the game a minute, and I was like,
Caleb, I was like, Banks, is that, wait, CJ Gunn changed numbers? Like, yep. I did not see that coming. And he hasn't played meaningful minutes in weeks, maybe a month, over a month, and came in, played a significant amount. And you know, he made some freshman things where he overplayed some things and jumped out on ball fakes and, you know, kind of fumbled the ball a little bit here or there. But in general, as he got into the game, I thought he looked like he belonged. I mean, I don't know if he's going to steal minutes from anybody, but it was nice to see him get in the flow. And you see the athleticism, you see, you know, the size and all of those things. You see what people, you know, were praising about him, especially, you know, over the summer when he was apparently playing really well as soon as he stepped on campus. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to have to contribute for Indiana next year, definitely. So it was nice to see him get in the flow and get some minutes. And I thought he acquitted himself pretty well.
Coach, anything on Banks or other meaningful moments? I don't know how long we have you, so if there's anything else you want to throw in here, have
I'm going to make it quick. We got a great guest over there who needs to talk a little bit more. But Banks was real active with his hands and rebounding, and I thought he did a really good job of getting in a defensive stance and being ready to play when his time came. And he said in the press room it was a challenge to wait so long to get in the game and that he thought he was getting better defensively. And that's why he had his opportunity. He said he felt he had a good feeling about playing. And he said, I just had to be ready when the opportunity presented itself, which all that's player and coach speak. But I thought he did that today. And that's good to see. That just adds to the depth as needed if Geronimo is going to be out. So a really good effort. Yeah, you could tell that the freshmen need help in the media room. They're real short with their answers and kind of looking at each other. You know, Caleb Banks, first time he plays, now he's got to go in and talk to the media. He was a little shell-shocked in there. So, you know, the SID, you know, JD needs to get with them and help them a little bit. But it was good to see him have his shot. And it was good, five games in a row, fellas, and a tough one at Maryland. And then we're all together here in Bloomington. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to drive home now and relax. So
drive safe,
enjoy.
Coach.
Have a great rest of the show.
All right, will do. Thanks, Coach. You know, Mark, as we kind of finish up meaningful moments here, you know, a couple other guys to hit on. Just wanted to get your perspective on these guys as kind of role players on IU. One is Miller Kopp. The other is Tamar Bates. Kopp has been a guy who's gotten a lot of conversation from IU fans about, you know, why is this guy playing so much? You know, and he has defensive limitations, as he showed tonight. It's not a lack of effort. It's just – asking him to go try to keep Bryce Sensabaugh in front of him is not a thing that's going to end well for him or any number of other people. But I thought he did, you know, continue to do some little things, was able to dig down in the post, got a turnover, stepped into a three in the second half when he needed to, was able to, you know, make a nice pull-up jumper. And then Tamar Bates, also a guy who struggled at times defensively, typically when his shot doesn't, you know, go in right away. You know, we've talked about
it. You'll see him foul a lot.
He kind of gets handsy and is trying to make too many things happen defensively. And but is also a guy that can get hot. I thought he made a nice, you know, the meaningful moment for me on him was being able to shot fake, get in and get to the rim for a layup, which is not something you see him do a whole lot. But what is the, you know, kind of evolution of those guys? You know, sometimes they're, you know, making major contributions in the on the stat sheet, sometimes not so much. But, you know, how do you view those guys fitting into IU's hopeful success as they move forward?
I think Bates has the luxury of coming off the bench, so the fans don't expect quite as much. Like, or he's more of a you know, if he's icing on the cake when when he's bringing it and he's scoring and making plays and all that, it's just it's an added bonus. So I think obviously Kopp's going to get more of the criticism because he's starting and you're scratching your head when, you know, he's having nights where he's 0 for 3 or something and getting burned on the defensive end. You're scratching your head wondering why this guy's starting and getting all these minutes. But I think the same thing with him, though. Like, I think they're both similar guys where they're capable and they're certainly opposing coaches and scouting reports before the game are spending time talking about these guys because, you know, we've seen Miller Kopp get hot at times and you've seen Tamar Bates, you know, like really go nuts. So, I think that really is their function. I think like Indiana, like I said earlier, if the guards are hitting outside shots and doing it in ways that aren't just like Trayce Jackson-Davis getting doubled and kicking it out, like doing it in ways that are like within an offense, an actual flow of an offense, that makes this Indiana offense just absolutely dangerous. And sometimes you don't even need guys to hit shots. You just need like Miller Kopp to hit one. And then the defense is like, oh shit, this guy is, I forgot, like this guy's a great shooter. And then now all of a sudden they're freaking out about the idea of him getting hot. I don't know. I think like Kopp is who he is. So, I mean, like obviously Bates being younger and being a little flashier and all that, like he's going to get people a little more excited, I think. But no, I think both guys play similar roles where they can be instant offense at times. And you know, you just hope that the offense they bring can outweigh the defensive problems they might have. But I don't think they're guys though. I think it's easy to like look at a box score and say, oh damn, Miller Kopp, I mean, how many did he have tonight? He only had five tonight. Miller Kopp only had five tonight, another bad game for, but I don't think that's what he's for, you know. Like I don't think you're looking at Miller Kopp saying we need 12 points every single night out of you. I think it's like there are going to be a handful of moments throughout this season where we need you to hit shots. Please hit them. I don't know. Like the Kansas game was a great example. I remember watching that Kansas game. Very first possession of the game, TJD gets doubled. He swings it over to Miller Kopp in the corner. I think he airballed it. And I was like, well, all right, this is probably how this game's going to go, you know? and then the Hoosiers got ran off the floor. So I think that's like his function on this team is like, there's going to be a few moments in some of these games, some of these bigger games, we need you to step up and hit the shots. And I'm hoping like he can be that guy. I still think he can. And I think like, honestly, the fighting with the fan base on the internet or whatever the hell that was, it kind of reinvigorated him. I don't know. He dunked the basketball not too long after that.
It's true, he did.
It's crazy. So, you know, maybe that was a good thing in the end. I don't know. Pencil necks. Is that what he said everybody was?
I believe so. Yeah.
Dug down deep for that one.
Really? Yeah. Trying to bring that back apparently. So which is good.
Anyway, it's just hilarious. I mean, like that's college basketball and the ebbs and flows and all that is like, I mean, yeah. What was that? 2 weeks ago that the players are fighting with the fans online and you know, the sky. And now all of a sudden it's like
5-0 since.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, like, I honestly expect the Hoosiers to be favored against the number one team in the country next week, you know? And like, I don't know if they will be, but like,
it'll be close.
I think every Indiana fan's going to that game saying, like, not only do I think we can win, I think we should win. And if we lose, obviously the context of the rivalry and all that, but like beyond that, I think we're playing better than they are right now or whatever, you know? Like, that's what I would imagine Indiana fans are saying, right? Don't you expect to win on Saturday?
I expect a really close game, certainly. And I think that right now it tilts a little towards Indiana given how they're playing. Like, the problem is, you know, the ED-TJD matchup that's going to be the determining factor, it feels like. And he is going to have to hit threes to win that game and defend the three. which they've had issues with both ways all season. So it could be a great game, could be, you know, so you never know.
It really does feel to me like either team could win by 15, which is
total, absolutely
crazy. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and I think it'll be close at least at the half. And then I think it'll go one way or the other. I really do. As for Kopp, like there's so many little things that Miller Kopp does. And the reason he's starting is because he has the respect of all of his teammates and the coaches. And, you know, even when he's not hitting shots, he's the guy getting everyone together. You can see he's the one talking constantly. He's the one grabbing him for, you know, huddles after fouls and before free throws and things like that. I mean, he's a veteran who knows what he's doing, and he rarely hurts you. I mean, defensively, again, you know, when you're just to have a bad matchup, you have a bad matchup. That's not his fault. He's working hard, but there are physical limitations. You know, a guy I compare him to a lot is Jordan Hulls. When Indiana would face really athletic point guards, when Jordan Hulls was on the team, you know, there was a good chance that guy was going to go off, and Hulls would just try and make up for it on the other end. I feel the same way about Miller Kopp, and I think Kopp is a guy who works really hard and plays really hard. There are just physical limitations. I do think they need to run more plays specifically to get him open shots. I've been saying that since he stepped on campus, instead of just having him sort of on the perimeter hunting for a kickout spot. But and then with Tamar, I mean, once he sees one go through, he's it's like hitting a power up in a video game or something. He's a way better guy. He got his mushroom. He's huge, you know. And I thought in the second half that's who he was. In the first half, he was, I mean, defensively, I don't know what he was thinking. There was one part where he just like slapped a guy three times and got called for a foul and looked at the official like, what are you talking about? It's like, Tamar.
I think that was the one where he hit McNeil in the head, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
And it was like, just looked incredulous. I was like, yeah, you hit the guy in the head. I don't know what you want.
Even the Big Ten, they're calling that, buddy. Yeah. So, but you know, both guys are important pieces of this team. And I think that, you know, them elevating their games makes Indiana that much better. I mean, and the ceiling of this team is not going to be determined by Trayce Jackson-Davis and Jalen Hood-Schifino. Those guys are going to be great. It's everybody else elevating their game as they go. And you've seen it during this winning streak. You've seen Malik Renew's gotten better. Tamar Bates had a 21-point game. Miller Kopp's hit more threes. Like, you've seen the other guys start to elevate, and that's been the turning point. And to the point where Jalen Hood-Schifino, the last two games, was okay. Wasn't great statistically. The other guys stepped up and helped them win. So that's huge for Indiana, and that's what's going to determine this team's ceiling.
Well, and I think more than that, it just hasn't always been the same guy. And it doesn't always have to be, but you've had so many guys. I mean, even Caleb Banks, we talked about that tonight, you know, a lot of guys being able to step in and make contributions. And even though it's not the same guy night after night, if you can get enough guys around them to play well, then should be in good shape. So let's transition to stats and go inside the numbers here. As we look at the win, you know, for IU, the shooting percentage, they shoot 50% from the floor. Most importantly, shoot 50% from three as they continue to really shoot it well from long range. Galloway hit another one, was one of three, you know, got some open looks there. Kopp was one of three, but Hood-Schifino's 6 out of 9 certainly helps. Even Renew cashed one in late there, but 50% on twos, 50% on threes. You know, solid from that perspective. Only 9 turnovers for IU compared to 17 assists. And when you look at those numbers compared to Ohio State's 8 turnovers but only 9 assists, and I think that speaks a little bit to whether that was their approach or the way that IU forced them to play, really having to do a lot more one-on-one with Sensabaugh and trying to play that way. You know, bench points favor IU, second chance points favor IU, even though I felt like Ohio State got, you know, quite a few of those. IU with more points in the paint, you know, a lot of good numbers in IU's favor, which obviously you'd expect in a game they scored 86 points and won. But, you know, Ryan, any stats jump out to you that really told the story of this one?
I guess I should unmute. That might help.
I mean, you can if you want.
They won on the boards, 39-33, and were able to, you know, they gave up 12 offensive rebounds, but I didn't feel like that really hurt them that much. Ohio State had 16 second chance points, but Indiana had 23. So I think that was kind of the, you know, being able to prevent them from running it up, you know, in that way, really helped Indiana. Just once you get a lead, it's about solidifying it and not allowing a team to be able to have a long second possessions on defense. Just keeps you from getting worn out. So I thought that, you know, what was impressive about Indiana is they got the lead and you knew an Ohio State run was coming and they were able to kind of keep them at arm's length the whole game. And I thought that was the most impressive thing we saw, especially college basketball these days. You can go on a 17-0 run and get back into it. And I thought Indiana was able to keep them at arm's length, just doing solid things, playing solid defense, running solid offense, and rebounding the basketball.
Yeah, and then defensively, IU holds Ohio State to 44% from the field, just 5 of 19 from 3. You know, Mark, as you look at that, do you view that as things that IU was really successful in doing defensively to force that, or kind of where do you place the credit and the blame on that side of things?
As a guy who's watched obviously every Ohio State game this year, we are not this. We at one point in time, and it wasn't that long ago, we were, according to KennethPomeroy.com, the number one offense in this great nation. And it's almost mind-blowing to think that could be said about this group of basketball players as you watch them now, because the 9 assists is it jumps out to me of like I like you're talking about stats that I'm looking at when I look at a box score. Justice Suing had 5 points, 0 assists, and 3 rebounds, and that's just simply not good enough. And that's what every Ohio State fan. He is our senior captain. He is the guy that's been around for a few years now. He is a guy that, as a team, we have a team full of freshmen. We start a freshman at point guard, and our best players are freshmen. He's the guy that's supposed to be the rock, and he's not that. So I honestly, man, like I think Indiana's defense was great tonight. And I think, I still do believe that Indiana, this particular team, but also Indiana as a program, I think, defense should be the identity, and that should be the calling card, and that's how they're going to win meaningful games and trophies and things that'll actually get the fan base excited. So that's what has me fired up. Like, the part of me that likes to see Indiana play well is I do think there's a better commitment on the defensive end. But honestly, as I was watching the game tonight, I just saw like inept Ohio State offense that I'm used to seeing from the last few games. And it's just maddening. I don't know what else there is to say. Like, Ice Likely isn't great offensively. We knew that when he committed when he came here from Oklahoma State. He can't shoot. He can't really, but he's like a savvy veteran. And as I said last week, I was there. I saw with my own two eyes in the Schottenstein Center against Iowa, who I know is terrible defensively. I understand all these things, but still, I walked away from that game and I was like, oh, cool. Maybe Ice can, he found a little offensive spark. Maybe he can. No, not the case. He took one shot, did not score tonight. Justice did absolutely nothing offensively. Sean McNeil couldn't hit anything. I mean, the three shots he was fouled on, which tells me, like, on the one hand, the one hand you're like, oh, that's cool that he hit those three. But then on the other hand, it's like, he probably made them because he was fouled and probably like knocked it off. He was going to miss, and then the foul made it, like,
0-5 from three for him was a huge surprise for me.
This Buckeye offense is just broken. And we don't have enough pride defensively to, we're just a mess. And I'm done with this team until I don't know, when's their next game. And then I'll probably turn it to you
at least a couple of days. One other question for you, Mark, before we leave stats. What are the key stats that your dad and IU fan, right, Coach Titus, are there like stats that he really hones in on that is like, this tells the story, if they're doing this well, they're whatever? Does he have like
my dad
pet stats that he really looks at?
My dad gets really fired up about anybody that, like, Trey Galloway has been a guy that he has a lot of attention on, because Trey Galloway is a native Hoosier who's also a coach's son. So that I think is the perfect recipe for my father to like obsess over a player. And when Trey Galloway couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with his jump shot, my dad would lose his mind. So I feel like that's been a sticking point for him this year. Is like, I think Trey was 3 for 3 from three not too long ago, and again, I forget which game it was.
Yeah, it was a couple games ago.
Yeah, so like Trey's been shooting better this year, and my dad's like really fired up about that. So I think I think Trey only hit one tonight, but that's the kind of stuff that gets Papa Titus going. Is it just drives him nuts. I can't tell you how many times he'll, not even guys that play for Indiana, he'll text me, guy, like, he'll be watching just a random Pac-12 game, and they'll cut in and talk about like, a guy that's a coach's son, and then he'll just be like, "Did you see this coach's son on Cal who can't shoot? What the hell?" And like, you know, for some reason he gets fired up about that. So that's probably the stat that I hear the most about. What if I don't watch an Indiana game, I just wait for my dad to text me what Trey Galloway's stat line.
You'll know exactly how the game is going just by your text messages.
Yeah, perfect. All right, well, we'll take another quick break here, and when we come back, we'll hand out our game balls and the Hoosier Hustle Award, and then we'll look ahead briefly to what IU's got on tap next. So that's all coming up here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of the Assembly Call.
All right, thank you, Jordan, and welcome back to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. You can catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Over 9,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed already. And you can join that for free today at join.assemblycall.com. Again, that's join.assemblycall.com. And I'm Andy Bottoms here with Ryan Phillips and special guest Mark Titus. And we are breaking down IU's 86-70 victory over Ohio State. And now it's time for our game balls, which are presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all of their testing services. That 23, of course, is in honor of TJD, who has been dominating the game balls of late, but feels like tonight it is likely that things will go in a different direction. But Ryan, I'll kick it to you first. Who gets your game ball tonight?
Yeah, it's Jalen Huchefino for that first half that really set the tone for Indiana. He had 20 in the first half, 6 of 7 on 3, and then finished with 24 on 8 of 12 shooting, 6 of 9 from 3. Only one rebound and only 3 assists, but only one turnover. He had a block and 2 steals, too. Was plus 21. I mean, again, plus minus. As we always say, flawed stat, but in 32 minutes, he really set the tone for the game, I thought, for Indiana, and kept them in it early and allowed them to sort of build to that big run at the end of the first half. You could easily give it to Trace Jackson Davis for 18, 10, and 6 with 2 blocks thrown in there. But I got to give it to Jalen. I thought this was his game.
Yep, I would agree. Probably a Big Ten stat of the day somewhere in there with Trace Jackson Davis's stat line, but we'll wait and see about that. Mark, game ball for you tonight?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with both you guys. I think Jalen carried the load in the first half, and Ohio State, the game plan was pretty obviously try to make someone other than Trace Jackson Davis beat you. And Jalen Hood-Schifino stepped up and said, I will do that. I will beat you. and honestly, at halftime, like I know Indiana fans can, you know, obviously at times be cynical and you know, think that no lead is safe or whatever. I assure you, at halftime, the game was over. I've seen this Ohio State team. We have zero heart whatsoever. We have zero. The locker room was not full of guys clapping, saying, "We're all right, guys. We can do this in the second half. We can," you know. It was a lot of hanging of heads, and damn, we suck, don't we? So in that regard, like, to me, the game was kind of over at half. And with that in mind, I think the guy who scored 20 points in the first half deserved the game ball. So yeah, I would agree with both you guys.
Yep, that is sound logic. So we'll make it unanimous. Jalen Hood-Schifino gets the game ball, his second on the year, which is actually fairly surprising that he hadn't gotten more. But I guess when Trace is out there playing the way that he is, maybe that makes a bit more sense. All right, now we will transition to
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right, so Ryan, I'm going to throw it to you first again. I'll even let you do the honors of attempting to describe for Mark what we're usually trying to accomplish with this, and then the thought process of how to give it out. It's not necessarily just this was the second best player of the game type thing.
No.
So I'll let you, as the wordsmith of our show, try to
slow down. It's basically,
I mean, I'm not saying there's a lot of competition. I'm just, you know,
who set the effort, you know, like who was the high effort guy for Indiana? Not necessarily, as some people seem to think it's, you know, game ball B. It's not, it's somebody who had the most effort and played well. By some people. I mean, Jared Morris. I'm going to go with Caleb Banks tonight. I thought 7 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds, just seeing him get in there. He only played 12 minutes, but I thought it was great seeing him get in there and mix it up inside. And there's certainly some other options, but I really liked what I saw from Caleb. So I'm going to send a hustle award his way.
All right. Sounds good. All right. After that glowing description, Mark, who gets who's your hustle award?
Caleb feels like a good pick. Cause I do think a Holt got a tech in the first half because Caleb Banks wasn't on a scouting report, and he was like, "Who the hell is this guy?" and then lost his mind because of that. That's my theory anyway. But I think for me, there were two moments when I knew it just wasn't Ohio State's night. One was when your arena literally tried to kill our best player. and I mean, like, I that was one of the moments where I was like, this is unreal. What's happening? What I'm witnessing. The other one was the Trey Galloway reverse. When Trey hit that, and it didn't feel like a fluke. It just felt like Trey being Trey.
He's practiced that 40,000
yes,
times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was disgusting. I hated that so much, but also I was like, damn, that was kind of cool. So I have no idea if that is quite fits the description of what we're doing here, but yeah, that felt like he deserved something for that, some sort of award. So yeah.
All right. This is it. All right. Well, I'm going to go a third direction, which means we'll have to let the chat mob try to figure this out, which means that I'm going to have to try to look and figure out who they will say, but I'm going to go with Malik Renew. I just thought he made a lot of hustle plays on the glass, that were really important. Continues to foul at a pretty high level. What are you going to do? Not as high level as what Jerome Hunter was doing for Xavier earlier in the year. I looked at his fouls per 40 minutes going into the IU game. It was just unbelievable. But
I missed Jerome.
Yeah, he's actually settled into a nice role there. Although I did see him pass up a wide open attempt to shoot a three today when I was watching Xavier and Creighton, and I was like, I don't know what
that's Sean a body Miller, double. That is not Jerome.
I don't know
Jerome
what Sean
Hunter.
Miller has done to this guy, but this is not the Jerome Hunter that I know. But anyway, I go with Malik. I thought he made a lot of good plays. Was able to give Trace a little bit of rest, and with Ray still working his way back into form, I just thought he didn't seem to have his legs at times. Although he made a couple big plays and had a nice.
He was good
run.
Off the jump. I thought he defended pretty well off the jump, and then when he came back in again, he wasn't as quick. I thought, and that's you know, he's still working his way back.
Yep. I'll go with Malik. Thought he made a lot of good plays. Padded the stats a little bit by knocking down a three there at the end, and so we'll try to. I'll let somebody in the chat mob attempt to tabulate the votes here and figure out who it was. I've seen a lot of all three guys in here, so this is alarming that someone will have to do the tabulation. But we'll let somebody do that. I'll try to keep an eye on it so we can mark it down for posterity as we go forward here. But all right. So with that, we kind of transition into. Lingering questions as we look forward. IU goes to Maryland on Tuesday. The Terps have been a little bit like IU in that they, you know, started off really well, had a pretty rough patch there, have played better of late, winning three of the last four, including today at home against Nebraska. So IU has to travel. They're at home. Should be an interesting game. You know, Mark, I kind of throw it to you to give thoughts on anything you've seen out of Maryland this year. I know they played at Ohio State a few weeks ago. What can IU fans expect from them?
I've seen Maryland play really good basketball, and I've seen Maryland put up some stinkers. The UCLA game in particular was tough to watch. If anyone watched that, and Tennessee before that. So I guess like for me, Indiana's a better team. Indiana's pretty clearly a better team than Maryland. But this feels like I don't know if trap game is the right word, but it just feels like my hope if the part of me that wants Indiana to kind of, you know, settle down and not worry about the highs and lows of being back and not being back and all that is to not look ahead to Purdue and not start thinking about next Saturday and focus on this game because Indiana's better than Maryland. I mean, let's just put it that way. And I know it's on the road. But the Maryland team that I've seen, I know they took Purdue to like Maryland's at their best when it's a rock fight. I'll just put it that way. Like that's the, like when Maryland's like the Tennessee game, the Purdue game, which they both lost, but like Tennessee and Purdue are probably two of the top, maybe the top two, two of the top two teams in the country. And they were right there against both those teams. But both of those games were ugly as sin. And I think for Indiana, it's like, don't fall into that trap too much. Don't make this look like an Archie Miller basketball game. Try to bring some beautiful basketball to College Park and take care of business and they'll be fine. But at the same time, a win's a win. And if it does turn into a game like Indiana had at Minnesota and they have to gut out a game that's closer than you want it to be, then I guess that's okay too. So.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately the lingering question is kind of how IU plays with, you know, five-game winning streak, Purdue on the horizon. This is that game in the middle of the kind of trap game, if you will. You know, Ryan, what have you seen from the, you know, I think this is a question that if we've asked it over the years, we'd probably have different answers. Most of them born out of pure terror of an inability to sustain good play. But, you know, what are the key things that you really look for? And are there things that you've seen from this IU team in recent weeks that give you maybe a different level of confidence heading into a road game in that situation than what we felt in previous years?
The first 10 minutes are going to be so important for Indiana to, you know, I mean, I know they lost the first segment tonight, but they were able to sort of rebound in that second segment and just keep the game close as they kind of found their footing. And this team sometimes takes a while to find its footing in games. And so I think that first 10 minutes is going to be really important. I think they're going to need one of the bench guys to step up and hit shots. and Trey Galloway and Tamar Bates have not played well on the road traditionally. So somebody's going to need to get in there, and one of the supporting guys, whether it's Kopp, whether it's Renew, whether it's somebody else, is going to have to provide a lift. Race Thompson, it'd be nice to see some offense out of him. But I think a perimeter guy is going to have to step up and help Jalen Huccifino and sort of go against script there, because that has not been something that's happened for Indiana on the road very often. So those are the two things I'm looking for. I think, Trace Jackson Davis is going to probably get his, but it's about, and Jalen will probably hit a couple shots and make some plays, but he's definitely going to have to play well. And I think that there's going to have to be a supporting cast member that steps up.
Yep, I would agree. All right. Well, we are just about at the end here. I think we have, we've hit all the main points. So just a quick
mercifully
reminder
for Mark here
to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. And with that, it's time for last call. Mark, we'll throw it to you first for final thoughts on the 86-70 win for IU.
I have a final thought that might seem a little bizarre, but I want to say it anyway. Bruce Thornton is a guy. Indiana fans probably didn't even know he was out there tonight. He's our starting point guard, a freshman for Ohio State, who I adore. I love this kid. The start of this season, I was so blown away. I was out in Maui watching him play, like Texas Tech, and I know Texas Tech isn't great, but still, like, Texas facing a Mark Adams defense as a freshman point guard, and just kind of the composure he was playing with against a team like that. And we played San Diego State out there too, same sort of thing of like just how defensive minded that program is and all that. Watching Bruce Thornton at the start of the season, I got so excited for what he was, and he has just completely hit a wall or fallen off a cliff or whatever. And I am about to just start, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to like just start praying to every God that's out there and something to like get this man back on track. I'm going to start like going to psychics and out here in Los Angeles or something. I don't know. So I guess like my final thought is Bruce Thornton has not been playing great basketball. And what I want to say to the Indiana fans is this kid is going to stick around for a few years for Ohio State. He's going to be a very good basketball player. And when we play the Hoosiers next, probably not. Do we play you guys again this year? I don't know if we do.
No, just this one, I believe.
It was just this one, huh? Oh, interesting how that works. You don't come to Columbus, huh? Huh?
Something fishy going on.
But when you play Ohio State again and Bruce Thornton has a good game, maybe some of the other Indiana fans will say, who is this kid? Where did he come from? All that. But everybody watching this, all the Assembly Call people will say, we know who this kid is because Titus told us about him. I don't know. He's hit a freshman wall, and it really like breaks my heart because he's a great kid, and I was really fired up about him. And I don't know. That's a bizarre thing. The other thing I would say is this is my least favorite game of any college basketball season is when Ohio State plays at IU. When IU plays in Columbus, I don't really mind because I just turn my brain off and just convince myself that like the red jerseys are Nebraska or something. And I think like Ohio State's just playing like another team. But watching like the Assembly Hall court with the Buckeye players on it, it's just it really just feels like my wife and my mistress are hanging out and
that should never happen.
It's just like very bizarre for me to watch, and I hate it. I really do. I absolutely hate it, and I really, really, really hate it when my team sucks and we lose like this. So that's it. That's my final thought. I'll shut up now. I came and I took my lumps. Congratulations, guys. The Hoosiers are back. Are you guys going to be there Saturday, by the way?
Who's all going Saturday? Yeah. Andy's not going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'll come find you. Jared's going to be there, and Coach will be there. I mean, we'll have the whole crew. It's Andy's coaching.
Yeah, my I coach my daughter's sixth grade team. We have three games in the span of just over 24 hours that just so happened to fall on that weekend. So
the weekend we picked months ago.
Yeah. I will definitely not be at the game.
There you go. That's why I don't have kids.
Same here. Kidless, right here.
That's the lesson.
Also, I want to get ahead of something. I'm going to the Purdue game, the IU at Purdue game in Mackey. And so I'm going to the game Saturday with my brother and my father, who are both IU grads. And then I'm going to the game in Mackey with my mother, who played at Purdue. And I promised both sides of the family that I will cheer for the home team. So I want to get ahead of this when the Hoosiers play at Purdue. And there may be pictures of me floating around on the internet wearing Purdue stuff and clapping for Purdue.
Just say it's Photoshop, man. We're good.
I'm I'm cheering for my mother. I'm not cheering for the Boilermakers. Okay, that's what's happening there. Okay?
All right, we'll let you off the hook for that.
I understand. Moms are worth it. So you're good.
Moms are important.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, appreciate you coming on, Mark, and enjoy your trip to Bloomington next weekend. And as you
and
said,
everybody
you'll be able to
in.
Go and enjoy it as a where you can, you know, just freely cheer for IU and enjoy it in that regard. So have an awesome time.
By the way, everybody tune in Monday to find out the next step for the Titus and Tate boys. We're all looking forward to it.
I hope I hope we have it figured out by then.
Awesome. All right, Ryan, what's your final thoughts on tonight's game?
Just a great win for Indiana. I thought it was pretty complete. You had a lot of guys contributing. Obviously, Jalen Huccifino showing why he's going to be in the NBA next year, and Trace doing his workmanlike thing, finally getting what feels like a win over Ohio State when our favorite guest comes on. But I just think this team is on a roll right now and they need to sustain it. I think that it would be easy with that Purdue game looming to sort of look past Maryland. Not that you should, it's a road game in the Big Ten, but you know, there's a lot of focus that's going to be on that Purdue game and a lot of hype around it. And it feels like 2 years ago when that Purdue game felt like a really big game. And it didn't turn out well. And so this team needs to just keep its head on straight, keep playing the way it's playing, keep, you know, as Mark pointed out eloquently, Trayce Jackson-Davis feels like he's trusting his teammates a lot, and they need to trust each other and keep that faith in each other, regardless of what's going on around the program, regardless of what's going around each of them. That trust in each other and being able to know that the next guy will step up when you need it is huge for any team. And so they just need to keep that rolling against Maryland, and hopefully they head into that Purdue game with, you know, just on a complete tear, and we can, you know, throw down next Saturday.
Mark, I will let you know that a few people in the chat, a couple of my favorite comments.
Oh no. Oh,
my
no.
My mother played at Purdue too, but I'm not wearing Purdue clothes.
That's fair.
Although I think my favorite from Jen, what the heck, Mark? She didn't play for the men's team. So
that's true. That is true. That is true. Mom, I don't know. I'm a mama's boy through and through. And my mom, like, she is the most agreeable woman on earth, and just like doesn't. So anytime the IU-Purdue rivalry, like my dad hates Purdue more than he likes IU, honestly. Like he honestly probably watches more Purdue games just to like tell me Zach Edey isn't good. He's just tall. Like I get more, you know, I'm like, Dad, isn't IU playing? He's like, yeah, I don't need to watch IU. I just want to make sure Purdue, you know, isn't that good. And so anyway, my whole life has just been my mom just getting abused in this Purdue-IU rivalry by my brother and my dad, and you know, I don't know. And I think just through the years, I've just grown a soft spot. So I thought I'd give her one day, just like one day where I was like, Mom, I want to go to West Lafayette. I want you to, you know, give me, I've had her do it before, but it's been years. And I just want her to like take me to her favorite places and go to the campus and all that. And I don't know. I'm a softie. I apologize.
You're good. So, you're good.
You're forgiven, man.
I thought the comment was good enough that I felt like I had.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
I totally.
That's how I was growing up, though. Mom would be like, I played at Purdue, and I would say that. I'd be like, I'll cheer for the women's team. So I did. And when Purdue women won at 99, I was very excited for her, and I cheered for her, and we were all very happy. But I was like, no, I'm not cheering for the men. That's stupid. But
absolutely.
I don't know.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, well, I'll finish this up. You know, my final thoughts on the game, just another solid performance from IU. And I think what you like that you're starting to see from this team is a couple of things. One, different guys are able to step up now. It's not always the same guy. Tamar Bates really stepped up in the Michigan State game and struggled in some of these others. Malik Bernews played well the last couple of games. Jordan Geronimo had stepped up in a couple of games, and he's out today, and guys are stepping in for him. So just – you know, I think it's a situation where a lot of guys are starting to play with confidence. We talked about Trace having more confidence or at least seemingly having more confidence in his teammates. They are rewarding him, but also playing more confidently as well. So I think the program feels like it's in a good spot, which traditionally over the last few years is a part when something will go horribly wrong. But I'm trying to get past that. I'm trying to get past even tonight when I'm sitting there watching the game with my wife, and you know, she said something about being a little bit worried that there was still, like, you know, kind of too much time left. And that was a sentiment that I've had recently. I should have just let Mark let us know that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should have just texted me. I'd have been like, you guys are fine.
Yeah, everything's good. This was over at halftime. Everything's fine. So anyway, we'll work through that. But, I think you know, a lot of fans are starting to get a little bit more confidence just based on the way the team's been playing and another good performance. And so another chance to prove themselves on the road coming up on Tuesday before a huge game against Purdue coming up on Saturday. And so it will be interesting to see how they do. But, you know, the more games they win, the more that you see them being able to deal with success a little bit better and be resilient within the game. And that was a situation that we just haven't seen. And as Mark described some of the things with Ohio State in the first half where things just really kind of snowballed, I think that's something we've seen from IU in recent years. And this team seems to, at least for now, have worked their way past that and are able to be a bit more resilient in games, able to put a stop to runs and not really, I think the second half was a perfect example of that. Never really let Ohio State put true game pressure on IU in that situation. And that's a step in the right direction for the program and for the team. So with that, I will close us out. And if you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/assemblycall. Don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. And special thanks to John Ringer of rigdesign.com. for designing our logo, and thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you on Tuesday after the Maryland game. And until then,
take it from me, Yogi Ferrell. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I like everything about that.
All right.
We have a Mark Titus one.
I could not find it. Jared sent me a Dropbox that has him, that had him in there, and I looked specifically for the one that was, you know, native Hoosier Mark Titus, and what, and I could not find it in there. So.
We use it next show.
Let it be known that effort was made to dust that one off, but I could not find it. So, but anyway, well,
thanks for coming, Mark.
Appreciate you.
Happy to do it.
I know there's a lot of.
Look! I keep this on my desk.
There you go. Right there.
It's well worn.
It's my coaster. Yeah.
It's pretty used.
Constantly. So, happy to do it anytime, guys.
Awesome. Well, best of,
we'll see you Saturday,
man. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. We'll
yeah.
See
I'm
you.
Fired up, man. It's going to be so fun.
Are you going as like a special guest or media, or you just get tickets?
I didn't really want to say this like publicly, but.
We're still on the air. So.
Oh, really?
We're still live. Yeah. So, shut that off.
So maybe. We caught you just in time.
Yeah. Good. I'll talk to you later.
All right. We'll talk.
All right, even better. We caught you. We're not here.
Good thing I didn't say it publicly.
I'm glad I stopped you. Awesome. So yeah, we'll see you. It'll be great to have you in town in Bloomington. When's the last time you were there? Did you go last year?
I haven't been to. I went to the IU Ohio State football game a few years ago. I haven't been to a game in Assembly Hall since it was like a Jared Solinger, Aaron Kraft era Ohio State IU game. And that must have been at least 10 years ago. And wow. Like I said, it was a very unpleasant experience being a visiting fan.
I can imagine it was even worse in person.
It was just so weird because like I wore an Ohio State shirt there, obviously. And then, but I'm like walking around, like it was, I don't know. It was like I was going to like my buddy's house and it felt like I was like walking into like a house I was familiar with. So I'm just like kind of going to the kitchen and go, I know where the bathroom is. And I'm like, just kind of making myself at home. Like everyone's just looking at me like, you know, is this why, who is, get? Yeah. What is this guy doing and all that? I don't know. It was like and then I almost forgot I was wearing the other team's shirt. It was just a bizarre experience. And I decided I never want to do that again. So I don't think I'll ever watch Ohio State and Assembly Hall ever again.
We'll bring that Titus magic for Purdue. That's gonna
but
be a big
I'm
one.
I'm fired up for Purdue, and it's a big deal because Dad. I don't know. I just like the older I got, and then the further I moved away from home. I don't know. Just I got to a point where I was like, I got to take my dad to Purdue IU game because I don't even know. Yeah. Like the last time he's been to Purdue IU game, it's probably been the 80s or something. Honestly, like,
really? Wow.
Like we didn't go to the Purdue games growing up. We always watched him at home. So I don't know the last time he was there with Purdue games. So
perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. I told him I'll move heaven and earth. I'll do whatever it takes. We'll get him in the building and we'll see what happens. And I hope the Hoosiers win because I don't want to drive home with him. Listening to his takes.
It's never a fun drive home.
No.
Awesome.
All right. I think he will. I think he will. I really do. I'm not just saying that to pander. I think Indiana should be favored, and not by much, maybe, but
yeah, I think the spread will be close, but I mean, one way or the other. But I think you're right. Those games, it tends to be close, and then it winds up being. Yeah. I mean, last year's at Assembly Hall went down to the wire, but Indiana wasn't as good as Purdue, you know, last year, and kind of won that game and then fell off a cliff for a bit. But I think that this year they're both two really good teams with a lot of talent, and you're right, those tend to be close, and then they spread out at the end.
And they spread,
yeah.
But no, I think Andy, you made a great point as we were wrapping up there that like the game like tonight to me is like what. Like Indiana to me is back when you win a game like tonight in that emphatic fashion that you want it, you know, like the Purdue game, I want to, and I'm sure you guys do too, get out of this like era of Indiana basketball where like you beat Purdue and then decide you're back. You beat the number one team in the country and you're back. Like being back, like the really great programs, they have a desperate team like Ohio State coming into your place, like with a must win, and you just beat their ass like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's the mark of like a good program is like
consistent good play,
consistent,
not like, stepping up for one game. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, and the same thing. Like even if you lose to Maryland, don't let that now spoil like the I don't know. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. So
yeah, you got to get to a point where every game is in a moratorium on the program.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Not like every game of
and I'll let you know when we get to that point. But
I know, dude. It's so it's crazy. It's crazy. Like being. Yeah, I don't know. Like
We've done this for 11 years. I don't think it's ever been off of that level. Even when like they were number one in the country, they lost to Illinois one time on a backdoor cut for a layup at Illinois, and everyone was like, "Fire Crean, yeah. Cody Zeller's a bust because he couldn't watch." And I was just like, "Well, stop." Like,
what? And then, meanwhile, like if you're paying any attention to the rest of college basketball, like everybody's losing absurd games, and Alabama's getting blown out
off the floor
Oklahoma, but then if Indiana, you know, that's what I was kind of saying about the Iowa, Northwestern, Penn State. It's like, I mean, any season where Indiana loses to Rutgers, Northwestern, and Penn State, it does feel like it must be a massive failure, but context matters, I guess, you know, and like,
well, and they got those three bad losses all in a row. You know what I mean? Like it had been spread out throughout the schedule. You feel like, okay, they had they walked into a bad game, you know?
But I mean, Rutgers and Northwestern, I think, are tied for second. In
they
the
are.
Big Ten.
Yeah. He has a half game behind
this
him.
This is the world we're living in right now.
Even that blanket statement of like, we lost to Rutgers and Northwestern. Yeah. Like any other year, that's panic button. But like this year, I don't know. They're decent teams. So who cares what their jerseys say? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. So, all right, boys. 100%. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming, man. As always.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
All right.
See you guys.